Good evening, lovelies. Welcome to another episode of Coffee, Candy, and Creatives. My creative tonight is Julia Sue. She is the founder of Multitasky. Multitasky is your one-stop shop for stylish and functional home office accessories. Julia's drive and passion is inspirational. She has not one, not two, but three businesses currently going on, including Multitasky. She also gives TED Talks at her alma mater. So grab a cup of coffee or your favorite beverage, browse with your host, Pup, and enjoy the show. Tonight's episode is sponsored by Realtor Esther Greaves of Gladheart Realty. Esther's been serving the Metro Kansas City area since 2006. She's licensed in both Kansas and Missouri, and her local areas include South Kansas City, Downtown Kansas City, Leawood, Overland Park, East Summit, and Cass County. So if you're in the market for a house in the Kansas City area, contact Esther Greaves at gladheartrealty.com. Hi, Julia. Thank you so much for being on the show. I'm so happy to talk to you. What are you up to? What's going on?
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here. We've been talking about this, but I'm running just like three or four different businesses currently in California, moving to LA. So lots going on, pretty exciting stuff.
So cool. Four businesses. What are you doing? I know the multitasking. I love the multitasking. Right now it's all online. We can order. Yeah. We can go to multitasky.com. We can order our organizational supplies. We can get our home offices set with these beautiful products. First of all, these beautiful, beautiful products. And where do we go from there? Any big news? Any new outfitters?
we're launching in Amazon and Urban Outfitters this fall. So we're kind of expanding different distribution channels from the multitasky side. I spent the past 6 months we started maybe November 2019 building out the D2C side of the business. I kind of trained myself and taught myself everything from global supply chain to ops to building a website to, you know, marketing and everything you can imagine, and building this whole like virtual team of dozens of female go-getters, which is what multitasking is all about. It's about female empowerment and especially empowering women who wear different hats in life. And speaking of which, that's also me, which is why I started this brand and wanted to have a brand for women who does a lot of different things in lives to feel like they belong. And so, I guess e-commerce side is one thing that I'm doing. I also am a consultant. I help a lot of startups with their financial models and do some like fractional CFO roles, and potentially launching a course. Hopefully I keep pushing this because I keep getting busy with multitasking stuff potentially this year. And then also we're adding another business where we help a lot of female communities to source their merch and launch their e-commerce. So kind of applying what we did for multitasking to some other female communities so we can expand, you know, what we believe in and empower more people.
So when Pup Duffy is ready with her t-shirts and, you know, bumper stickers, she should talk to Julia.
Yes.
Launch that side of it.
Yes.
For women, sometimes you feel like if I am a businesswoman or if I am successful in my career, maybe I can't be a mom. And you're showing that women can do it. Absolutely. Yeah. Can balance it. They can wear those different hats. You can be a mom. You can be a businesswoman. You can do it. I absolutely love that. I love that. Yeah. You're a very busy lady. Very busy.
Definitely multitasking.
Right?
Yeah.
Hence the name, maybe.
that's literally where it came from. I was like, I want to build a brand that I feel like I belong and the society is not promoting enough. People are like, don't multitask and, you know, don't try to do everything. But the reality is like, you have to. You might be a wife, you might be a mom, you're, you know, running your own business, maybe you still have a full-time job. It's impossible for you to just be like, I'm just one thing. And, you know, I think that is very outdated, the society where we define a person by just one title, like, he's a farmer, you know, he's a banker or whatever. It's no longer the case. You can be many different things. And I think we need to embrace the different identities and be able to celebrate that. And I think this is also part of where I was thinking not just at one time. You can be many different things, right? You can be many different things throughout your life. You can be completely different things in every phase of your life. And recently, I actually just did a TED Talk at Brown, where I went to college. And at the TEDx Brown, I was talking about the next big thing, which is the topic of the talk. And basically thinking that, you know, you keep chasing the next big thing, or you keep thinking that you figured out part of your life and then this is it, but there's no happy ending. And you're going to get to every single achievement or get that golden trophy at every single phase of your life and realize there's more. And maybe sometimes it's simultaneous, sometimes it's one after another, but that's kind of what life is about. It's like the ebb and flow.
Right. And learning to multitask without getting distracted, it is difficult. And I think people feel like you shouldn't take on too many things because things might fall through the cracks, or you'll fail, or you won't do as good because you're focusing on so many different things. But you're out here proving that that is not the case at all.
It's
you
hard,
can do it.
But you can. And I think the reason that I wanted to start a home offers brand is when I was starting to set up my home office after I quit my job, I realized that there's just no functional, stylish, and affordable products out there in the market. Everything that I find is really basic. They're not very fun. It doesn't express any personality. And a lot of times, if you try to find the really stylish one, like at Anthropologie, they're really expensive and probably not function first, like trying to get a lamp. They're all super heavy. You can't move it anywhere. Like, you know, it's hard to take it wherever I go. So I wanted to find products that help you with your multitasking, you know, like abilities in life and in work. And that's kind of what this is all about.
Well, and it's the perfect time for it too, with so many people working from home. It's crazy. And I feel like a year ago when it all happened and people got sent home from the office, I think a lot of people might have been like working from the dining room table, as time progressed, as time progressed, you know, it's like, okay, this third bedroom, sorry, you're not a guest room anymore. You're an office. And then that's when you're like, well, I'm going to get a new desk. Well, I need a lamp. I need this. And multitasking is perfect for that, because I did it myself trying to find, like you said, stuff's expensive or it's super cheaply made and it's not a good investment because it's going to break. It's going to get dingy, disgusting, you know? So multitasking has those elements that people need for their offices that will last and be beautiful or be cool. And you can have your little desk matching, you know, with all the matching elements of it, or you can, you know, you can go crazy with it, but the option is there.
And sometimes it's hard to think about, you know, what do I really need on my desk? Because a lot of times they're like, you know, I don't really need to organize it. But when you see, for example, we have like a work pad, and I had it, I was like, this is so convenient. And I wish that I had this whole time, but I would never really think of it until, you know, I saw the product. So the work pad, you can put your files in it, you put your card, it has like a calendar and everything. And a notebook, I always was thinking, well, there's so many notebooks out there, but I don't need just a notebook. I want a notebook where I can carry my pen. I can, you know, I have a bookmark ruler, it has sticky notes in it, it has like pouches. Where I can put my stuff around or cars. And so trying to figure out things that I feel like are pain points in my life and finding products that solve that, and going beyond just typical office stuff, like going more on into the tech accessory side, because these days everyone, we don't really do paper as much. I mean, I still have a notebook, but most of the time I use my laptop. So stuff like laptop stand, you know, laptop bags or customizable laptop sleeves and phone holders and a tech accessory, we're branching into there. And USB hubs, because I always just feel like I don't have enough places.
Absolutely. One of the most aggravating things when it comes to tech is trying to find your charger or the block, the block to plug in the wall.
I know.
It's almost a nervous breakdown. I'm looking at the one, it's the Flyport, the USB hub 4-in-1. It's
like a little plane.
Cute, durable. It's $25 and it's so affordable. It's so adorable and it's so useful. I'm gushing.
And we make sure everything is multifunctional. So we don't carry any decor. Everything needs to have a purpose or multiple. I think most of our items can be used for, you know, different ways. And I also added like a self-care home convenience line. So humidifiers just kind of make your space feel nice. And we have a manifestation box that we launched together in partnership with Society Gal, a female freelancer community. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it has like diffuser, candle, and all the things, you know, journal, vision board, all that. And we also now have like the convenience line where we have floor mop slippers, which is just, it's like for working moms, you might still want to clean a house, but when you're walking around, you'll be doing that. So it's like multifunctional, multitasking again. And then, or like a, you know, a little egg that you put in your fridge and it just absorbs all the weird smells. So I think a lot of things that we're trying to test out, but basically we're envisioning someone who is a female go-getter, whether she's an entrepreneur, a freelancer, or she works a corporate job, or she's a mom, whatever that is, but something to support her journey and, you know, different aspects of life and thinking about the home and office, but on a functional perspective.
So how many of these items have been your brainchild inspired by you working in your office going, oh God, I wish I had, or, oh, I need a, or like me, you know, getting up from my desk and walking to the coffee pot. And you said those mop slippers and I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
As many times as I walk back and forth, I'm like, that stretch of kitchen would be so clean.
I know.
So how, like, are there items that you were inspired just by your need?
I was as a businesswoman. I literally was like shopping for my home office. And then I realized, I was like, why don't I turn this into a store then? And, you know, bring it to other people. But as an example, I think one of the first product we launched was like a clampy bendy lamp. So it's kind of like this little lamp that you can clamp onto any surface. It has multiple light modes and it bends and you can adjust any angle and has a little cute cat ear. I wanted it because I was like, I just want something that's portable. I can clip it onto my laptop. If I'm doing a Zoom call, I can use it as like a Zoom light, but also if I'm like reading, writing, and I can just clamp it anywhere and easily use it if I'm on the go, and very lightweight, really cheap, like under 30, I think it was like 30-ish. And I couldn't find anything in a market. Like I was on Anthropology, the lamps were $200 and they're super heavy. I can't move it. You know, I was on Amazon or Target, nothing is like visually that fun or cute at all. And everything is just like a basic black or white one. And I wanted to have something that has a little style. So that's one thing. And then I was thinking about, oh, I want like a really cool ring light. And this really just happened because I personally, it was like, I need a ring light and I couldn't find a cool one on Amazon. And my old one is breaking. It's just like a basic tripod, like black one. It's not that like cool to showcase or fun to use. And I wanted to find one that's like pink. It has multiple phone holders. And I realized that there's a power bank that can be hung onto the light and you can use like a 3-port USB to power the ring light. So it's cordless. You don't have to plug into the outlet. Cause that was one of the pain. I was like, I don't want it to be restricted by where the outlet is for where I'm shooting the you know, the reel or the TikTok. Yeah. And I want to,
that's brilliant. At the
same time. Yeah. So that's a new product. Yeah. So
I'm excited for that.
Yeah. So a lot, definitely, I think it's just like things that I think I personally would want, and hopefully other people would like that too.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm excited for that because you're right. The ring lights that you get, and we're not shaming Amazon, but what you can get for the price point, it's kind of like, ugh. It's like, okay. And you tell yourself like, when I have a little more, I'll spend a little more. But I've had this one for like a while. It'll probably try to shock me because I'm going to say it's horrible. But, and a lot of people, they can find the information on your website on where this brainchild came from, where these ideas came from, where you were as a woman, as a young woman, how you kind of found your way back to your dream that you had as a younger person. And like you said in your TED talk, that it's never too late. You can always change your mind and there's always going to be something else.
Yeah.
Honestly, the end point is death. That's it. Up until the day you die, you can always make a choice. You can always do something different. You can always accomplish another goal.
And I think the most important thing is to not feel like there's only one way out, right? And not feel like you just have to be defined by one thing. And if you change your mind, it's wrong. It isn't, because life keeps changing and then you have to adapt, right? You have to stay true to yourself and you're going to change and that's okay. And I think that's something that we don't stress enough about when we're in college, you have to choose a major. And it's as if you choose a major, you have to just go down that whatever major you picked and pick an occupation with what you studied. And you have to stick with that for like the rest of your life. And I think it's no longer like that. You can change your mind. I went to Brown, which is super liberal. I basically had, I don't even know how many different types of classes I took, but I was technically business economics and then sociology, but I also took, you know, theater classes and everything that you can imagine, music and also like physics, you know. So there's a lot of like different things that I tried out. And I think the reality is you don't know until you try everything out what you really like. And that's kind of when you're even younger in college, when you're choosing your first job. And then there's the peer pressure element where everyone starts applying to the same job. There are certain jobs that it seems like everyone wants to get. At my time, it was consulting finance, right? Especially, I guess, like the friends around me. So everyone was trying to get the summer internship at McKinsey, trying to get into, you know, one of the Fortune 500 companies. And at the time, I kind of followed that whole competition, whatever you call it, and ended up getting each of those, which is very fortunate. But at the same time, every time when I got it, I look back and I'm just like, well, it's still very different from what I thought. And I still don't think I really know what I want to do or figured out my life yet. So it's not like you get a golden trophy and you just say, okay, happily ever after, I'm done. It's never
that's
like
it.
That. It's like an uphill battle every single phase of your life. And job leads to a better job. And then ultimately it's you questioning yourself, what do you actually want? What do you actually want to do with your life or to achieve? And for me, I finally realized, well, first of all, I want to be an entrepreneur. And second of all, I wanted to empower women and I wanted to be in an industry and a field where I can do that.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you had to become your own boss to be in that position where you had the ability to make the choices in the corporate world or as an entrepreneur?
Yes, because I think when you're in corporate, you just don't have the power. And sometimes even when you're at the top, you still don't have the power because then you're at, like, for example, I was at Alibaba. It's such a giant company. And I was directly already working for the US like boss, but the headquarter will think differently. Everything goes through a billion people to try to make a decision. And that's just a reality, I think, of any corporation. And that's what I realized. If I wanted to be making my own decision, I have to go off and do my own thing. Because even if you're the CEO of a company, you're restricted by the board, you're restricted by, you know, investors. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that are out of control and things that you have to do against your belief. And personally, right. I just didn't want to make that trade-off.
So being at the top is not always the top.
No, and I think it gets very complicated when you're working for a giant corporation. And a lot of times you become the face of something, but, you know, there's so much behind. And I just didn't feel like that's the way I want to live my life. And I felt like there's a better way to do it, to make things like simpler, happier, and to not give up like who I am. So then my first step was to start doing consulting. That's where I decided one day, I was like, I'm just going to quit. I don't know what I'm going to do yet, but I think I need to leave to figure that part out. So I left without a plan, but I was like, I hope that people would want to hire me as a consultant to do their financial models. But at the time, I had no idea if people even needed financial models. But before, when I was at Disney, I built the financial model for Disney Plus. So that was a
pretty, thank you.
Well, didn't really do anything on the operational side, which is like the actual useful side. And once I started my business, I realized you can plan so much, you can build so many models, nothing matters. Your operations and implementation, marketing is what's the most important, but still very useful skill set. Yeah. So then I realized I can apply that to a lot of other startups and help them realize, you know, what is their long-term goal? Like, how are they getting there? Translating a lot of their ideas into numbers. So that's kind of where I first started. So I did like 100 projects, I think in 8 months or something crazy like that. Wow. And then I was just like, again, I don't know what I'm doing with my life. I can keep building this forever until I retire, but I'm never going to build something bigger. I'm not making broader impact and it's not scalable. So a lot of my clients at the time are female founders of e-commerce brands. So I was very interested in the space. And then, you know, before I was also working at Alibaba as chief of staff. So I had some connections with, you know, suppliers and distribution and all that. So decided to teach myself all how to build an e-commerce business from scratch. And for some reason decided to launch in December 2020, which was the craziest time of year, where all the fulfillment system was like, you know, breaking down, USPS wasn't working. So it was a tough launch, but definitely learned a lot.
That's it. Yeah. You're like, wow, let's see. Supplies are limited. Supply system's breaking down. The delivery system is breaking down. Let's start a mail order company.
I know. Well, I didn't know at the time that it's going to break down. Nobody knew that it's going to be so bad. And I also didn't know that we're going to sell that much. So I was just like, oh, let me throw together an ad and test it out. That was before iOS 14 update, when ads actually still worked. So we did really well. We launched and then we totally like sold way more than I can handle. And it was like a fulfillment disaster, but you know, it was a good start. And now I think we have different challenges. We're looking for like expansion and all the other channels. But yeah.
Well, e-commerce, for people that may be listening that don't know exactly, that's basically online sales. It's not a brick and mortar. Okay.
So D2C is like direct to consumer. So we have our own website, usually hosted on Shopify. So that's what I started initially. And now we're getting on to, you know, the other distribution channels, because the limitation about a direct-to-consumer website is like, if you don't spend on ads, nobody's going to know about your site if you're so new. And these days, there's a lot of things going on in the whole ad world, especially with Facebook ads, the Apple, you know, iOS 14 update affecting data tracking. So a lot of brands are struggling and we definitely were impacted by it as well. So we're trying to also figure out different ways so we can diversify our traffic.
Especially if a major source of advertisement, it's online, right? Because I don't feel like, maybe people still read paper magazines, maybe people still buy the newspaper, but to the extent that they did, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, no. I get my information from the internet, you know, I get it from updates on my iPhone. So to be so dependent on the web and online advertising for these different little things, like I can't even get started with Facebook, but to be affected with these platforms that are changing the way advertisements are seen and analytics and all of this nonsense has got to be very difficult.
And I think it's also a transition from being the worker, which means the end delivery product is just my work and it's myself and it's my time, shifting that into running a business, which is like, nothing is in my control. You know, like I launched in December, we got a bunch of sales, which is great, but who would have thought that USPS lost, like, I don't even know, they lost like maybe 50 of our packages. That was insane. Wow. Never paid us back. Yeah, like never did anything. And they just have terrible customer service. And what do you do about that? And then, you know, you have this kind of updates where the whole ad industry is getting affected. Like literally all the brands are affected. And what do I do about that, right? I didn't know this was going to happen when I started a brand. So I think you're going to keep facing external factors that make things really difficult. And you just have to keep figuring out ways to adapt, get around, or, you know, like just deal with it. And initially, I think being a new entrepreneur, that was extremely stressful because I used to be in control. I used to know, okay, if I stay up tonight, I'm going to over-deliver, I'm going to get more bonus, whatever. Or if I take on another project for consulting, I know I can increase my income by X amount. But being a real entrepreneur when you run a business means that you know nothing. I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to make this month or next month, or if I'm going to make money at all. Like, everything fluctuates so much, and just one single external change could just totally impact your business. So I think, that's something I learned. And I think people were saying, you know, it doesn't get easier. You just get better at dealing with it. You just get used to it. But there always is a way out. Yeah.
And you can take that business mindset of dealing with things that are absolutely outside of your control. You can do nothing about the government's postal system. You can't do nothing. So taking that business approach of you just have to adapt, you just have to deal with it. You can apply that across a lot of aspects of your life.
Yeah.
It's like, that's outside of your control. You can only deal with it. You can only groove with it in response to it. You can't change it. So you have to change how you're reacting to it. I mean, that's an awesome outlook to have.
Yeah. And I think that's how you grow. And I think that's a fun part of being an entrepreneur too, because you never know what's going to happen. Sometimes really good things will happen. But at the same time, it's just like a roller coaster. It's like there's highs and there's lows, and you just have to be able to stick through it.
Right. You just got to roll with the punches, so to speak. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like you're doing really well. And it's so funny that you said about the fulfillment part of it, because I have learned so much in the past, like just couple months, like about grocery stores, about products, like that you, before the products, I learned about in the makeup industry, the product's not really even made, but you order X amount of units in anticipation of selling X amount of unit, and you either got too much or you got too little. There's not really a happy.
So,
and all of this is going on in your head the whole time, every day.
Everything, you know, anything from initially just picking a product, making sure we have enough inventory, and, you know, making sure it gets to the customer, which initially the first couple of months I was like packing every order myself and totally was like, I don't even know. Like it just totally took over my life. And I was like, got to get a warehouse, got to outsource it. So we actually very quickly in January got our warehouse in California, have someone else like kind of basically formed our own 3PL in a way, because I still want to manage the direct like customer relationship. We do queue packaging, we, you know, leave stuff in there. So I wanted to own that, but we very quickly built our whole fulfillment system. And then that was, I guess, the first phase. And then marketing, you know, everything from the content to email to, you know, like what kind of like ad you're making, video, graphic, everything. And that's like every day. We have a pretty solid team now, so I pretty much don't have to worry much. But initially putting together that team and even knowing what to do, because I mean, I'm not a marketer. I've never done it before. That was a lot. That was probably, I would say, from February to March, I was trying to figure that out. And then, you know, trying to do more partnership, which is my focus the past couple of months, like talking to more people, you know, doing either brand partnership, wholesale, whatever that is. Yeah. So we'll keep seeing where it's going. Now we're getting on to like Amazon wholesale is like kind of the next phase of the chapter, and we'll see where it goes from there. But there's always something new to learn. It's like your own MBA in a way, your own business school, but way harder.
Well, I think what people listening need to realize, if they didn't catch it when you said it the first time, you started this company in November or December 2020.
Yeah.
It's not like you've been doing this for years. You hit the ground running. You've been learning on the fly, you know, flying by the seat of your pants. And it's like, it's exactly like your TED Talk. You had to learn about the fulfillment. You had to learn about this. You had to learn about that. And you just adapted with everything that you didn't know. You learned it. And I'm listening to you and you're like, yeah, it took about a month. And I'm thinking most people don't learn that quick, or they don't get it that quick. Yeah. We'd like to think that everybody gets things that quick, but you really don't. I mean,
it's not really, really stressful.
Yeah. Well, I can see, I'm not butt kissing. I really do admire you for all of this. I'm saying that wholeheartedly, honestly. I think what you've done is phenomenal. And I love that you're spreading your message to the younger people, because there's probably some kids that are confused. And the fact that you did a TED Talk addressing what one of their, you know, stresses might be is beautiful. It's beautiful.
Thank you so much. Yeah. So a lot of things I think we're planning to do. But I think one thing that a lot of my friends ask me, they're like, oh, what made you decide to just like leave? What do you think? Do you regret it? And every time when people ask me that, I'm just like, well, I think one thing that's really important to say is things don't change. Your problem doesn't get solved by quitting your job. And, you know, people keep thinking, oh, if I quit my job, everything's going to be better. Yeah. But like, it gets more stressful when you have to figure out literally everything by your own, you know, like right. That's different level of stress. I think it's probably way more stressful for me to run my own business comparing to before working at a job. I kind of sometimes are like, oh, I miss that comfort. I miss that, you know, feeling of I finished my work and I can just sign off for the weekend, you know, like
I can leave this building.
Yeah, I can just like not check my phone. I can choose to not reply to my boss. But when you're on the other side of the table and you're running your own business and it's your own money every single day, you have to, and you can't take any day off. I feel like I can't unplug ever, because any day that I take off, like, what does my team do? What is my business going to do? Right. And not to mention, I have multiple businesses going on too. So it makes things even crazier. I was like learning e-commerce from scratch, but also doing consulting and everything else. So yeah, it's definitely a hustle. And people keep saying the 4-hour work week, which is true, that's the end goal, but you got to work a lot of 100-hour work week before you get there. You know, right. It doesn't just happen overnight. It's not like, oh, I just decided to work 4 hours this week and I'm going to make as much money. It doesn't work that way. Maybe when you do really well after years of hustling and you finally build your own system, which is the end goal of me with multitasking. I wanted to build it to a place where it's run by all the female go-getters that I trust. And I think they each really do a great job at what they specialize in. And it's like run very smoothly. So I don't have to micromanage or oversee as much. So that's going to be the goal for next year, I think. Right now, I think we are almost there, at least like in the whole like management and the pipeline and workflow and everything, which is, I think that's the only accomplishment. I'm like, sometimes I will pat myself on the back, which I don't do enough, but I'll be like, okay, like building that was hard and it's only been, you know, under a year and we already have a great team and a great system. So something to like, appreciate.
Well, I feel like if you know and you feel that you have competent people underneath you, it takes a smidge of your obsession away. But I feel like your business is also kind of your baby.
Yeah.
You're very proud of it. You're very worried about it. You're constantly thinking about the baby's health, the business health. So, but having people you trust, having people you know what they're doing, that's got to take a tiny little bit of that, like you said, micromanaging away.
Oh, yeah.
But still, I can imagine. Yeah.
That's so important. Be able to outsource things out and carve out things like by function. And I think a lot of business owner, especially early business owner, would still want to do everything themselves. And they don't take into account of the worth of their own time. And the first thing I did, since I was chief of staff, you know, before Alibaba, I did a lot of like the org chart, like management, people and all that. So the first thing I did after starting my business is carving out all the different functions and all the different tasks I would have to do. Like, you know, we have all the social media, all the different channels. And I'm like, well, I'm going to do it for the first week, but I am not going to do this forever. My goal is to replace myself for every single row that is, I guess, like outsourceable. So that's why I brought in this like virtual team of, they're kind of like specialists for every single like function. And a lot of them, I hire them from like Facebook groups or, you know, like online. I haven't met most of them in person. But you have to be able to trust them and, you know, to give the work out and not micromanage. I think that's the very first step. And then the second step is to evaluate your own time with the money that you're paying other people, thinking about how much would you charge hourly? How much can you make if you spend this time doing something else that's maybe more valuable? And if you can hire someone who's cheaper than you to do whatever you're spending time on and free yourself up, it's worth it. And sometimes money out doesn't mean like, it's a real expense if it's an investment really to your business.
Yeah, because every post on social media is a potential customer, but for you to do it all, impossible. You would have had a nervous breakdown already. Yeah. I love that you were confident enough in the people that you talk to let go of those things. Cause I feel like it may have been hard for you. Like you said a week and then somebody else is doing this, but I feel like maybe it was a little hard because you want to control everything. You want to know what's going on with everything. Like, was that hard for you to kind of be like, okay, and let them do their thing?
I wouldn't hire someone if I don't think they're going to do it better than me. So, yeah. Like if I hire this person, I know they're better than me. So I would be happy. Pretty much. I don't even have to check. Like I know every day, all our social channels, there's content going up and I consume it as if I'm a consumer. I see it go up after it's posted and I'm like, did a great job. So I think that was the goal when I'm like looking for people on the marketing side, and then off side is like completely this girl, she managed our warehouse, customer service, everything. And she only asked me if there was like something like a question or some kind of crisis, which barely happened. So pretty much everything I'm like already like outsourced and automated. And I'm just like, if you can't trust a person, don't hire the person. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think
what an awesome outlook. Yeah. That's an awesome outlook in regards to hiring. It's like, I don't want someone as good as me. I want someone better than me.
Yeah.
That's
hire by function, right? Like you can, you're the CEO, you're still running the company, but for each individual, like function. Like, for example, someone who's just editing the TikTok video, someone who's just like doing graphic design or doing copywriting, there's plenty of people out there who's better than me. I'm sure all of them are better than me, you know, like I don't specialize in it. So yeah, just like, don't think about like hiring one or two people like on a team to be like full-time and take over everything, because no one's going to be expert in everything. And these days, everything's digital. It's so easy to find people and get connected through, you know, communities and online. It's very easy to hire by function, and they're already the specialists in the field. So bring them on and just not worry about it. Like, let them do their job and yeah, just make sure everything's kind of like running smoothly. So that's kind of, I guess, the past 6 months trying to get to this phase and trying to make everything kind of run smoothly without me as a goal. And every time when I'm even like talking to the person, the goal is to remove myself from this whole process, so they know they can take in charge and they can make this decision.
Right. I kind of want to ask you if there's an end goal, but I know that there's not, because you're going to be looking for that next thing. So even if you were completely removed, where you didn't have to go into the office every day, maybe you called and you were like, hey, how's it going? Okay, cool. You're still going to want to push yourself. You're still going to want to find that next thing and do that next thing, right?
Yeah, for sure. Well, first of all, we don't go into the office, which is amazing. That's the perk of running your own business. And I don't even do calls really, because there's Slack and people just like message me. A lot of people, they're on different time zones. They just, you know, send me the work. I rarely even have to do meetings with the team, you know, once in a while, maybe. But yeah, I think once this is more stable and, you know, the e-commerce side, like get it figured out. I think the goal is like figure out D2C, figure out Amazon, figure out wholesale. I might then move to other stuff. Like I still have the financial modeling side where I wanted to do coaching because there's such a demand. So many people want to learn about it. And really there's just no one teaching like finance to women, especially, you know, to female founders. And when you search for financial modeling, it's always so boring. You know, it's very dry. And then it's taught by someone who's like, you know, an old white dude like talking about it. And I think we need to break that stigma too. So that's another thing I definitely wanted to try out. And then I don't know. And then after that, there could be maybe another new business idea. Maybe I still don't know if I want to go to business school. You know, there's a lot of things that I think I'll figure out after those. But now I'm like, okay, just focus on the three or four things that I'm currently doing right now, get those going. And then I think it will come.
Yeah. And then just, you know, write any other ideas down in your amazing notebook, right?
True. Yes. Yeah.
Well, I think that's really important for people is to, and I always say, write it down, but either, you know, put it in your notes in your phone or put it on your, you know, type it up in a Word document or something. But if you have a goal or if you have an idea or a plan, put it down somewhere, because, you know, and I know I have forgotten so many good ideas.
Yeah.
You know, ideas for stories, for shows, whatever, because you didn't take that. You didn't take that 10 seconds to jot it down or to put it, you know, sometimes I'll text a friend and they'll text me back, what? And I'm like, just so I remember. So I love that you said you're going to, you want to teach financial and consult for women owned businesses, or, you know, because I think of all the amazing businesses that I even just personally know of that are women driven. You were talking about packing shipments yourself with the cute paper and everything. And I don't know that consumers think so much about what goes into their order getting to them. For instance, if you order like a perfume oil from a little indie company, well, she made that, she bottled it, put the label on it. She put it in the, you know, the paper and the package and printed out a label. I mean, that little indie perfumer just did all of that herself. She might have someone, maybe one, two people that help her out a couple times a week. She has to go to the post office or, you know, whatever. Yeah. I don't know that consumers put that much thought into how their stuff gets to them. So I love that you, you talked about that, and you're going to be talking about and teaching these women with their little indie businesses. And they could go on to be, you know, magnificent. They could be huge entrepreneurs just from learning from you.
And I think there just needs to be something where it's not just about the numbers. It's not just about how to run a business, but, you know, it's kind of like combined where you think about it from a very like high level strategic side, but also you go into the nitty gritty into operations. Like, so how do I actually implement this? How do I turn this like whole vision, which, you know, like financial model is a vision board really, but in numbers, how do I turn that into reality? Yeah. So that will be the next phase. And then we'll go from there. We'll see, you know, what comes next and what the next big thing is.
People just, they come up with these fantastic ideas and they think, oh my God, I'm going to be a millionaire or a billionaire, but they don't realize all of those little ins and outs, and you're going to be teaching that. And is that something that will be available in an online format?
Yeah, for sure. Okay. So that'll be in the works. I hope that I can either get it end of year or like next year, maybe. Okay. And yeah, I think that would be, that'd be a good milestone.
Absolutely. And these women that may think that this is all I ever get to do, this is, you know, that's a stupid dream. I'm never going to be able to do anything with that. And then they see someone that took a leap and left a big company, a huge company. Yes, you had the consulting, not to fall back on, but you had that. A lot of women think, oh, well, this is all I can ever be. Don't be scared. Look at Julia, you know, don't be scared. Jump.
Well, you could still be scared every day. I'm still scared every day, but you know.
Oh, no, don't tell me that.
but the important thing is to overcome your own fear, right? I don't think fearless exists. We all have fear in somewhat, you know, different shapes and forms, but the important thing is to confront your fear and actually face it and tell yourself you're still going to do it despite that. And it's going to be scary and you're going to be scared, but you're going to make it work. And I think that determination and that persistence is what's the most important. That's actually what I talked in my college TED talk. I also did one when I was running my nonprofit back at Brown. That was like a knitwear accessory brand and financially empower single mothers so we can, you know, help them make money while they're at home with their kids and knitting stuff. So at the time, the topic was startup is not about the idea. Philanthropy is not about the donation. Well, the first half basically saying that an idea doesn't mean anything. And it's the passion is persistent is you overcoming all the difficulties that make things happen.
Wow. Dang. Well, isn't that the definition of bravery, is being afraid, but doing it anyways?
Yeah, that's true.
So maybe instead of saying, don't be scared, take that fear and make it your friend, make it an impetus that pushes you.
Yeah. And what is life without fear, right? Like if you're too comfortable and there's nothing to worry about, you're probably also not achieving or growing in any way.
You're getting stagnant. Yeah. You're just sitting there.
And that's the worst thing. And I think, you know, towards even the second year of like me at Disney, that's how I felt. I felt like, oh, it's too easy. I already know this. I don't think I'm learning anything. And that's exactly the time to leave.
And right.
Then, you know, other people's like, oh, but my bonus is coming up, but my stock is vesting, but this and but that, I'm getting a promotion. I literally gave up my bonus. It was like 3 months away. I'm like, I'm not sitting here for any single day. I know it might sound stupid, but the opportunity cost of me sitting here and not doing anything is invaluable. And I think I left at a good time for when I was leaving Alibaba. I left and then COVID happened immediately. And now I look back, I'm just like, if I didn't quit at that moment, would I have like quit after COVID happened? Probably not. So then I might have wasted a whole year of my life. I wouldn't have done any of those things that I started. And I would still be where I was, you know, like a year ago. So I think maybe the only thing you made is like a little bit more in your bonus and salary. But if you put that in your business over a period of time, you're going to make that back. So I think that's the limiting kind of belief that we have that we need to also change and try to break free from.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I know from personal experience, when you start to feel stagnant, to feel stuck, don't you really just start to hate it? And then I feel like if you don't like your job, if you feel stuck, I don't know that you perform as well as you should, because you're like, why bother? I hate it here. But make a change, guys, you know, make a change. It's scary, but absolutely. It really, truly is too short to stay somewhere that you're unhappy at, or you don't feel you're growing, or you don't feel is going to go anywhere, no matter how much money you're making, no matter how scary it is to think that, oh my God, I'm not going to have a paycheck in a month. Okay. Yeah. Figure it out. I don't think that the movies have it right. I don't think that someone has been at a job for 5 years and just one day goes, that's it, I've had enough, and storms out. I don't think it's like that. I think it builds up over a course of time. It is like a relationship. It's like a personal relationship. The little tiny things that irritate you, you're like, ugh. Over time, that's like divorce material. So don't let the little things get you to a point where you're just so miserable that your exit is going to be bad. Or try to leave wherever you are on a good note. Try to look ahead once you do leave. Don't look back, you know. And wow, Look what you can accomplish. Look what you can freaking accomplish. Oh my God. Julia.
I just started. So, you know, hopefully in a couple of years, come back to the show and I'll, you know.
Oh my God. Yeah. I want to come out and visit. I just want to touch all the products because I love them all.
Thank you.
All right. And all of this is online, multitasky.com. I love what you're doing for women. I love what you're doing for home offices. And it's been such a freaking honor to talk to you. I absolutely love you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Right. It's such a pleasure. And yes, I'll check. I'll see if those headaches is out or not. But
okay. Yeah, yes, absolutely.
Really looking forward to it.
Oh my God, Julia, you have a wonderful, wonderful night. And it was a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you. Bye.
You're welcome. Bye.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Julia. Please be sure to head on over to multitasky.com. Check out her amazing product. Also, head on over to Gladheart Realty. Thank my sponsor, Realtor Esther Greaves. As always, follow, like, support my beautiful partners over at beunique.org. That's BUNEKE.org. I would not be the pup I am without them. Be good to each other. Love each other. Decorate each other's offices. And I'll see you next time.